بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه نوين التعلم والتعليم والنفع والانتفاع والتذكر والتذكير والإفادة والاستفادة والحث على التمسك بكتاب الله سنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم والدعاء إلى الهدى والدلالة على الخير ابتغاء وجه الله تعالى ومرضاته وقرب ثوابه سبحانه وتعالى ما علمها الله من صالح النيات نسأل الله أن يجعلنا من علماء عاملين الفائزين بعلم اليقين وعين اليقين وحق اليقين ويرزقنا كمال المتابعة لسيدنا المرسلين. So we left off in this great treatise of Habib Abdurrahman bin Abdullah bin Faqih. At his words, someone who performs a good deed without experiencing an increase in his religion or in certainty should know that this is due to a deficiency in his deed, his lack of effort, or lack of sincerity and lack of truthfulness in his intention. And a question was posed towards the end of how that we can understand this, because sometimes that we hear it stated as well that you might be progressing and not actually realize you're progressing. So if that's the case, then how do we understand the words of Habib Rahman bin Abdullah bin Faqih? And again, we still need to put thought into it and to discuss it. But one criterion would be that the word he used here was deen, his religion. And that you could say here that if someone looks at their own self and sees how they relate to staying within the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed, so specifically the halal and the haram, if someone finds that as they progress in their deen that they have less observance of those limits, this would definitely be a criterion that would be in the negative, even if someone was performing good deeds, that they didn't find themselves becoming more and more distant from what Allah Ta'ala had prohibited. That it very well could be that someone's progressing but they don't realize it. But here is that an increase in the religion will mean is that an increase in application of the sacred law of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, that is important to note here that we do have ups and downs. We do have times where we have more or less energy. We have times where that we have more of that vigor to pray, and sometimes we don't feel that as much energy to do so. This is probably not what he's referring to here. These are some of the normal ups and downs of the human experience. We all have ups and downs. We have times where we have more or less energy and so forth and so on. But really, the sacred law is one of the great criterion that helps us to really understand this. And in all of our discussions of culture, is that we always have to consider in the beginning, the middle, and the end, the Sharia of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And ultimately, the more barriers that we set up between us and what is displeasing to Allah, the higher the degree of taqwa we would have, and the more pleasing that our state will be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very important that we always consider this dimension of Sharia. And yes, of course, there is difference of opinion on many matters in the sacred law. But what is important is that we want to get closer and closer to that performing what is agreed upon is an obligation, and being distant from what is agreed upon is that something that is impermissible. And then moving up in degrees after that, trying to rid the makruh slowly, that which is offensive from our lives, and then making sure that we do what is permissible with a righteous intention. And again, this is very important because sometimes is that the whisperings of shaitan that seep in very gradually and very slowly. And so we don't get diverted all at once. It's just that. And small little diversions. Then that a week later, a month later, a year later, sometime later, that we find that we are way away from the mark. And so this is one of the criterion, and that more could also be mentioned about that. So he says here that if we find here is it lem yajid, literally that he experiences or he doesn't find ziyada, increase in his deen, or quwwah, or strength in his certainty. And there are the direct repercussions of having certainty is that someone who has certainty is going to worry less about their sustenance. Someone who has certainty is going to necessarily rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. Someone who has certainty is going to that readily submit to the divine decree, especially if it is bitter. So there are a number of signs that our certainty has increased. And his whole point here is that if we don't find this, and the same thing would apply though, even that if possibly you are increasing but you don't realize you are, the default state and the better state to be in is to question yourself and to remain introspective. Because the three things that he's going to mention here are all things that we can work on to solve. And even if we are in a state of increase, is that we're still going to, it's still going to help us to focus on these things, i.e. the things that he says here, that it's a sign that there's some type of deficiency in what it is that we're doing. And so he says here that if you don't find this increase in the deen and you don't experience this increase in certainty, know that this is due to a deficiency in his deed. Something has gone wrong. Maybe we're not understanding it correctly. Maybe we're putting something in its wrong place. Maybe there's something that we've neglected. There's some type of naqs. And so then we should think about, what's going on? And we think about prayer. I'm not praying the way that I should. What's wrong? And you start to think about it. Have I studied the rules of the prayer properly? Have I memorized the invocations in the prayer or in the way that they should be memorized? Do I know the meaning so that I can think about them? And so forth and so on. We should think. And we should go through our lives systematically, especially the most important things, and to really that try to do whatever it is that we're doing better. So we do this for business. We do this when we work for that organizations, is that we're always trying to better the product that it is that we are delivering, whatever it is that we are selling. Is that think about the amount of money that goes into research in this country. That much of that relates to that being able to put a better product on the market. So why don't we spend time and invest time that thinking about these most important things about our spiritual life, things like prayer, things like fasting, things like study, and so forth and so on, and put in time to really take stock and to think about ways that we can perform our prayer better. Maybe when we really think about it, that we find, I usually just pray right away and I don't take time to really focus right before I pray. It could be something as simple as that doing like the tasbihat that we do here, which is taken directly from a hadith, incidentally. That saying subhanAllah 10 times, la ilaha illallah 10 times, in that order. Alhamdulillah 10 times, Allahu Akbar 10 times, and then astaghfirullah 10 times. And then we say, based upon another hadith, ayatul kursi, before and after the prayer, and the only thing preventing us from entering into paradise is death. And something little like that, it takes a little bit more time, and maybe we're already rushed in our daily grind, but maybe that's what it is that helps us. Something small like that. And so forth and so on. But the point is here, is that we do this, and we take the time to do this, and we invest the time to do this. And again, this is about you and your Lord. No one's going to force you to do this. You have to be proactive. You have to take the initiative to do this. And then start it, and then get the necessary tools that you need to do it properly. So he said it could be because of some type of deficiency in the act that we're doing itself that could be related to knowledge or something else. Or قِلَّةِ اِجْتِهَادِهِ. It could relate to that his lack of effort. Ijtihad is really struggle that you put in and striving. So it could be in relation to our heart in the moment. Do we have ijtihad? And again, ijtihad could also come before the act, but in the act itself, are we really putting all of the energy in? Or are we becoming complacent? And just, we put a lot of energy into other things, and when it comes to religion, we just coast. No, you actively have to put energy in. When we stand at night and pray 20 rak'ahs, or however we're praying of Tarawiyah, you get tired, your mind wanders, you have to actively bring yourself back multiple times. And sometimes you have more energy than others, but you have to actively bring yourself back. And you have to just bring about energy within yourself. And that roll up your sleeves and force yourself to concentrate and force yourself to focus on the meanings. And when you put that energy in, it helps. So it could be that this is part of the problem. Or it could be that, as he says here, that due to lack of sincerity or lack of truthfulness in his intention. So there's a difference between sidq and ikhlas. All of ikhlas is sidq, but not all of sidq is ikhlas. Okay, in other words, ikhlas is the second degree of sidq, but there's four more after it. Whereas that sidq is much more, and so sidq, in other words, is much more expansive than ikhlas. The first degree of sidq is truthfulness of tongue, that you speak the truth with your tongue. The second degree of sidq is truthfulness of intention. And here, it's the same as ikhlas, i.e. sincerity. The third is that you have truthfulness to have what's called azm. You have resolve to carry out your intention. And then, Imam Ghazali adds another degree here that seems closely related to the one that comes before it, is that you have truthfulness and wafa in fulfilling your resolve that you had to carry out your intention. And then the fifth degree of sidq is that you have sidq fil a'mal. You have sidq in everything that is that you do, i.e. that you give 100% of your effort in every single act of obedience that you do. And then the highest degree of sidq is what is called sidqun fil ahwal. And that's where you are sincere in all of your different states. And here, ahwal meaning that your religious states. So you're truthful in your tawbah, you're truthful in your raja, you're truthful in your khawf, you're truthful in your tawakkul, and all of the degrees of religion. Okay? Whereas sidq is, sincerity is that it gets back to what are you intending? So if we're not receiving the fruit of our actions, it could get back to one of these two things. And so we need to look into our hearts. Am I sincere? Do I have ulterior motives? What's happening? So he's given us a door and a practical way, things to think about how we can remain introspective when it seems that we're not getting the fruit of our actions. But the key is, it doesn't mean that you stop acting. You have to keep moving forward. You have to keep acting. You have to keep doing what it is that you can do and try to better yourself along the way. And this is where shaitan will come to you and say, look, you're not getting the fruit for your actions, so why are you doing it? You're tiring yourself out. You're doing it and you're not getting the fruit of it. And that is one of the big plots of shaitan. That you doing it, even that half-heartedly, even with that some degree of insincerity, is much better than you leaving it altogether. Right? That's much more dangerous. So we still that move forward. And this is the meaning of this statement that we always quote, one of the Salihin, Siru ila Allah, urjin o makasiya, travel to Allah, paralyzed and with broken bones. How fast can someone move if they have a broken leg? If someone is paralyzed in some way, they're not going to be able to move like other people, but you still have to go. You still have to inch forward. You still have to do what it is that you can. And now he's going to go into something else, which is very possible, and this is very, very important, because this is now, this following paragraph is the window to teach us how to be introspective, how we can start to see whether this relates to some type of disease in the heart that we have. So he says here, i.e. that this deficiency and this lack of receiving the fruit from our actions could be from something else. Oh, li'illatan min al-ilal fi qalbihi. Or it may be due to a disease in his heart. Fasada biha al-qalb wa afsada al-amal. Which has corrupted it and corrupted the deed. So an illa is one of the words that can be used for muddled. Min amrad, illatan min al-ilal fi qalbihi, in his heart. Fasada. Fasada is to become corrupt. And that afsada is to corrupt. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. That corruption has appeared on land and by sea from that which hands have wrought. And so that the facade that happens in the earth is comes from, right, that which hands have earned, things that they've done. And so it may be due to a disease in his heart which has corrupted it and corrupted the deed. And so this is the thing, is that the outward affects the inward affects the outward. As he previously mentioned, as if there's a disease in our heart, is that it's going to taint the outward act that we do. So again, back to the same meaning of the primacy of the heart, the importance of focusing on it. وَتِلْكَ الْعِلْ كَرِضَاهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. So now he's going to start mentioning some. Such diseases include him being pleased with himself. رِضَاهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. He's him just being content with himself. Right? I'm fine. I've arrived. I know what I need to know. I do what it is that I need to do. Everything's fine. I'm just content with myself. And it's always amazing to me how when you speak about this in a spiritual context, people get really weird sometimes about this. But if you speak about it in a very different context, like a worldly context, people are totally fine with it. This is the same thing that they say, that anything that you read about mastery, this is what they say. It's one of the principles of mastery, is that you're never content with what you've reached. Whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're a unicycler, whether you're a stamp collector, or whether you, right, or whatever, whatever it is that you do, is that any type of mastery that you want to attain, it's a prerequisite that you're not content with what you have. Otherwise, how are you going to get better? If you, no matter how good that you've become, you can still be better. You can master your craft or your trade or a skill or even a sport or something. You can get better. And you start to really fine-tune it. You know, and that when you really think about that, it's these tiny little fine-tunings that really actually make all the difference in the world. And my world of basketball, if you just think about that, not my world of basketball, what I enjoy, that you just think about having like a quick release, how professionals that spend that an enormous amount of time working, how just a fraction of a second making all of the difference, and just being able to get their shot off and the amount of time and the changes that they make, the subtle changes in their shot, just to get the shot off that much quicker. And it makes all the difference. And that's the difference between a great player and an elite player, is that. And they actually spend time working on that and do all different types of weight training and calisthenics and different things to get their muscles in a certain way, and just tiny little that differences in the way that they move so that they can get the shot off a fraction of a second earlier. And then that you see the results. And that's in something as basketball. You're not going to be asked when you die about why you made that shot or not, right? Who cares in the end? But what really matters is that we do this in terms of deen. We fine-tune our deen. And so, that karidahu an nafsihi wa kawat kan wa nadharihi ila amalihi, or him being oppressed by his own deeds. So an-nadhar ila amalihi literally is that he that regards his own actions highly, is that he looks at them and notices them and thinks that something is great about them. As we mentioned already in this series of classes, is that the righteous, is that they do great deeds, but they deem them to be insignificant and trivial. And that they only make minor mistakes, and they deem them to be grave and very serious. So then he says, وَأَجَابِهِ بِهِ, or him being impressed with his own deeds. Or what? وَكَرُؤِتِ الْخَلْقُ وَتَعَلَّقْ بِهِمْ, or being overly concerned with what people think of him. So it looks like this part was left out. That so in the text it says, رِضَاهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ, him being pleased with himself, وَنَظَرَ إِلَىٰ عَمَلِهِ, him noticing his own acts and regarding them highly, and then وَإِجَابِ بِهِ, which is إِجَاب is a technical word here that refers to إِجَاب, which is being impressed with himself, being impressed with his own deeds. So it seems like it was something was missed there. in the translations, you can add that. And like him, وَنَظْرِ لَعَمَلِهِ, him that noticing his acts or regarding his acts highly. And it relates to ujub, of course. وَكَرُؤِتِ الْخَلْكِ وَتَعَلَقْ بِهِمْ, or being overly concerned with what people think of him and being attached to them. That's a disease of the heart. Overly concerned. Yes, there is a degree of haya and modesty that we have before people, of course, but that really worrying about this is not something that a believer does. وَالْمُلَاحَظَةِ لَهُمْ الْمُوجِبَةِ لِلْرِيَاءِ وَالْكِبْرِ وَالْحَسَدِ وَالْغِشِّ وَالْحِقَدِ. This results in what? That excessively caring about what they think and excessive attachment to people. This results in riya, ostentation, kibr, arrogance, hasad, jealousy or envy, ghish, deceit, hiqid, rancor. So to the extent that we have that, what came before, ru'yat al-khalq. Ru'ya is to literally, it's to see, ra'a, yara, it's to see, ru'ya. And you talk about the ru'yat al-hilal, seeing the crescent moon. But ru'yat al-khalq wa ta'alluq, having your heart be attached to them. We said previously, we want to have ta'alluq with the meanings of the bismillah, and then we want to have ta'alluq, and then we want to have ta'alluq. But if your heart starts to have ta'alluq with people, ya latif, the stronger that that's there, ya Allah, all of these diseases start to arise. Mm-hmm. Sure. So the clarification is in terms of some people as opposed to others. This is so in general, what is referred to is the vast majority of people. There's definitely different people in our lives, and that some of them it's acceptable for us to care what they think about us because it's an indication of our deen. And so whenever that person is in a place where that their opinion of us is an indication of something that relates to our deen, then it's perfectly fine to want to be held in high regard by them and to care what they think, because it's a religious care. It's a religious concern that's going to help you in your deen, right? And that's there to help us that get along. And this is how we feel about our teachers. We want to that be in good standing with our teachers, that we want them to that think of us highly. And when they do and they say nice things about us, it's a sign that we're doing something right. So yes, it's definitely different with anyone who's in a position of deen. And sometimes that could be, it just also relates to our parents in certain circumstances, and our mother or our father and other people in these positions. But the criterion is that that person, what we really want is that how it relates to deen, not dunya. When it comes to the world, that's when it becomes negative. So unfortunately, is that the more attachments we have to creation, the more susceptible that we are to these major diseases of the heart, nasallahu alayhi wa sallam wa afiyah. These are what are called muhlikat, destructive vices. And again, once you start to realize and you read about these things, as we did in the, alhamdulillah, we're now in the retreats on the munjiat, the saving virtues. We spent quite a bit of time talking about the destructive vices. And you start to read about them, you're like, ya latif. You start to realize how prevalent they are in the hearts of Bani Adam, of the children of Adam, and how that we just like didn't know this and didn't study this. And that didn't even fall up with the door that was open to us to have a more in-depth knowledge of it. These things are very real. This is why the scholars of the science have said is that anyone who does not study the science of the heart will die persisting in major sins and not even know. If you don't ever study kibr and the causes of kibr and the symptoms of kibr, of arrogance, ya latif, that could be that ingrained in someone's heart and we not even realize. So again, this doesn't mean that we give up. We keep traveling the path and we try to detach ourselves from people, but we're aware that the more attachment that we have to people, the more we will be exposed to these diseases. Now just think about social media and the role that it plays in this. How that it makes so many of these things worse. And the thing is that when you're looking at pictures on Instagram and people's posts and so forth, if it's for khair, it's for khair, tamam. But if you're concerned about how people look and what they are wearing and how they dress and all these types of things, when you look at someone with ijab and you're impressed by them, the more that you're impressed by something, the more that these attachments start to happen at the heart level. Be very careful who you let your eye look at. Right? We should be impressed with religious people and people that are going to take us to Allah Jalla Jalaluh. But if we look at that people that are fusaq, right, that are people that are corrupt people, and we're impressed with them, and it could be by something that they're wearing, or a type of car that they're driving, or the house that they live in, or something associated with them, these attachments start to develop. And so we need to be very, very careful of this. And then he says, he gives another example, وَكَتَصَلَّتِ النَّفْسَ الْأَمَارَ بِالسُّوءِ وَاسْتِيلَائِهَا عَلَى الْقَلْبِ بِغَلَبَةِ الشَّهْوَةِ الْمُثْمِرَةِ لِلْقَصْوَةِ. Or it may be that he is overpowered by his lower self, النَّفْسَ الْأَمَارَ بِالسُّوءِ, which commands to evil, and is overcome by his base desires. Istila is the process of overcoming. The heart is overcome by these base desires that what? That result in hardness of heart. Okay, so that the more that the nafs that amara basu, the nafs that commands to evil, this is the lowest level of the three levels, or you could even maybe expand it to seven. It's the lowest level, a nafs that amara basu, is that to the extent that we let give it free rein, and to the extent that the desires that overcome our heart is to the extent is that we will fall short in our actions, and it will lead to hardness of heart. And then, وَعَدَمِ الْخَوْفِ وَالْإِنْهِمَاكِ فِي الْمَعَاصِي. And if it is, this results in hardness of the heart, or he may have no fear of Allah and be engrossed in disobedience. وَكَبْ خُبْثِ الطَّوِيَةِ وَتَمَكَّنِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَوَسْوَسَتِهِ وَغُرُورَهِ. Or that he may have a filthy mind and is thus seized by the devil in his whisperings and deceit. So it's the point when we hear this is like, oh my God, this is how I am. I'm doomed, I'm terrible, I'm gonna give up. No. If that's the response, that's a response from the nafs. A response from the heart is, Ya Rab, this is my state. I want closeness to you. I'm reading this book to become purified. I'm fasting in Ramadan because I want to draw near to you. And I'm not going to let shaitan or my own nafs get the best of me. I'm going to strive until the day that I die. And even if I don't attain what it is I'm seeking, I'm going to die trying. I'm not giving up. This is our response. That has to be our response. Is that reading this is not here to make us despair. On the contrary, these are books of purification. And this is why that he says here, that فَلْيَجْتَهَدَ الْعَبْدِ أَنْمُوَفَّقْ بِتَطْهِيرِ قَلْبِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْكَبَائِرِ الْمُبِقَاتِ. Therefore, then let a servant who has been granted tawfiq, divine success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that strive to purify his heart from these destructive major sins and fatal diseases. This has to be our attitude. وَطِبِّ لُبِّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْخَبَائِثِ وَالْأَمْرَاضِ مُهَلِكَاتِ وَيُشَمَّرْ فِي عِلَاجِهِ وَالصَّلَاحِ وَتَزْكِيَتِ وَرُشْدِهِ وَفَلَاحِهِ. And that he should expend his efforts in treating, rectifying, and purifying himself, improving his conduct, and attaining success. فَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ إِذَا صَلَحَ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ وَالْأَمْرُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَ. This is based upon a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. For indeed, if his heart is sound, his body and his entire affair will be sound. If it is corrupt, however, his entire life is corrupt. Not just his heart, because the heart affects everything that is that we do. Everything that is that we do has the thumbprint of the heart. Everything ultimately gets back to the heart and the state of our heart and the intention in our heart and the traits of our heart. Everything in the end gets back to our heart. Everything. All actions stem from the heart ultimately. فهو أولى بالعناية من أمراض الجسد وبقية الأعضاء. And he says that diseases of the heart are thus more deserving of attention than physical ailments. فالعجب كل العجب that it is that absolutely amazing, unbelievable. مِمَّنْ إِذَا اَعْتَلَّتْ يَدُهُ أَوْ رُجِلُ بَذَرَ جُهْدُ فِي إِلَاجِهِ بِكُلِّ وَجْهِ وَإِذَا اَعْتَلَّ قَلْبُهُمْ وَمَرِضَ لُبُّهُ لَا يَتَفَكَّرُ فِي إِلَاجِهِ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ فِي طِبِّهِ وَيُهْمِلْ أَمْرُهُ حَتَّى يَمُوتَ قَلْبُهُ فَلَا يَحْيَى أَبَدًا وَيُطْبَعْ عَلَيْهِ وَيَذْهَبْ دِينُهُ فَلَا يُفْلِحْ سَرْمَدًا. He says it is unbelievable, it's absolutely amazing that when a person has an ailment in his hand or leg, he expends his efforts in treating it in every way possible, yet if his heart becomes ill, he takes no care to treat it and does not bother with its cure. He neglects the matter until his heart dies, after which it will never live again. It will be sealed, his religion will be gone, and he will never attain felicity. And we live in a time, the closer and closer we get to the end of time, is that there's a whole system and a long list of things that's the sole function of what these things do, is just destroy your heart. The vast majority of things, when you turn on the television, and all the vast majority of programs, the vast majority of what you'll watch on the screen will do nothing other than destroy your heart. This is the reality. And the amazing thing is that we happily let it into our heart. And we buy tickets for these things. And we go out of our way to let it into my heart. Here, come on in. We sign up online to these services, right, where people can just watch movies, and that we have these that cable subscriptions and whoever else, Dish and Madresh, all these other things, and so that we can just open up our hearts to receive filth. Ya Latif, we're Majnun, we're Majani, we're insane, we're totally insane. It's completely insane. Now, I'm not saying you go home and break it tonight, right? If you've already had it in your house for some time, yani. But my point is, yani, we should slowly find replacements. Replacements. Once you taste the sweetness of deen and you taste the sweetness of learning, there's nothing that any movie or any program or anything that you can watch on any screen that can bring about a greater sense of joy than that. And if you start tasting the sweetness of dhikr and the sweetness of solitude, you're not even going to want to be around people, let alone that let that garbage and filth into your heart. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And we call ourselves murids and salaks. And Ya Latif, we're not murids, we're murid. Right? We're not aspirants, we're sick. We're sick. Let's just admit we're there for tabarruk and we're not serious in the spiritual path. We're there for the blessing of it, we're not serious. We're not serious. If we really were serious, we'd be doing things a lot differently. If we were really serious. We're not serious. Yani, we're still traveling to Allah, paralyzed with broken bones. And I'm not saying this to make us despair. It's just a reality check, though. Let's realize where we are. Because if we live in the world of illusion and delusion, and we think something that it really is, how are we going to that help ourselves? We really need to think about these things very carefully. And again, the difficulty of it is that it's so pervasive in our societies. And many of us have children that we're trying to raise them in a responsible way. And we're trying to protect them from a lot of this stuff. And sometimes you gotta that expose them a little bit to certain things responsibly so there's not a greater backlash later. But that's very different than just letting the floodgates open and giving people unmitigated access. And anyhow, nasallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah forgive us and have mercy on us. And blessed with love of the awliya who will intercede for us. Ya Rasulullah, inshallah, he intercedes for us as well. This is a difficult time. This is a difficult time. Our Prophet told us a time was coming where holding on to the deen would be like holding on to a hot coal. Imagine that. Someone threw you a hot coal, like whatever you do, don't drop it. It's your deen, you can't drop it. But imagine that. Look at the metaphor, right? Look at the metaphor. If you know, if you let that coal that's in the mabkhara that burned the carpet, we're all going to die because the house is going to burn down. Okay, just hold it in your hand. And just imagine, in your hand. And just, right? You just got to, none else you can do. You can't let go. You're holding on, right? That's how it is to hold on to our deen in this time, like that. That feeling of that excruciating pain of a hot coal burning your flesh, right, to the bone if you hold it long enough and if it's hot enough. And you can't let go. If you let go, you lose and everyone else loses. Right? And that's how it is. And so a lot of these things are, you know, we don't like to make things difficult on people. But, you know, that's why we're here. We didn't come here. It wasn't a prerequisite for the place we moved, right, to have a nice shopping mall or to have a lot of restaurants or to have a lot of, you know, stores where we can buy clothes or whatever else. That's not why we moved here, right? We moved here, right, so we could focus on our deen. We moved here so we could free ourselves up from preoccupations of the dunya to focus upon deen, so we can study together, so that we can worship together, so that we could be together. And let's take advantage of it. Let's be serious in our deen. And there's something about serious people, you respect them. And honestly, I would probably, and again, with a caveat, in some ways, not always, but in some ways, I would rather be around someone who's serious about their dunya than someone who just doesn't really care about their deen. They're kind of into their deen, but not really. And if I put it in the context of himma, I would probably rather be around someone who has high himma in dunya than low himma, spiritual aspiration in religion. Because you could still benefit from that. It can still inspire you to channel that into religion. Someone that's at least into something. They're not in a state of batala, where they're just idle. They're into something. Not in every situation. That doesn't always apply, so don't quote me on that. But the point, I think, is made. Anyhow, this results in hardness of the heart. Or he may have no fear of Allah and be engrossed in disobedience, or he may have a filthy mind and is thus seized by the devil in his whisperings and deceit. Therefore, a slave who has been granted divine selection should strive to purify his heart from these destructive major sins and fatal diseases. He should expend his efforts in treating, rectifying, and purifying himself, improving his conduct and attaining success. It is amazing that when a person has an ailment in his hand or leg, he does this. But yet if his heart becomes ill, he neglects the matter until his heart dies, after which it will never live again. It will be sealed, his religion will be gone, and he will never attain felicity. Now, this is haq. What he's saying is truth. Whether or not we act upon it or not, that's something else entirely. And Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to act upon this in a responsible way, in a way that is pleasing to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he quotes that from the Quran, كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. That Allah says, no, indeed, what they have done has become like rust upon their hearts. كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَلْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُبُونَ. No, indeed, assuredly, they will on that day be veiled from their Lord. So meaning is that the ran that is in the heart is that it prevents us, the rust that comes through the heart from sin, that prevents us from that being in the presence of our Lord, from witnessing our Lord. And this is Nas al-Quran, that la mahjubun, that they will be veiled as a result. And then Allah Ta'ala says, Nasallaha fa'ansahum anfusuhum. They forgot Allah, so Allah causes them to forget their own souls. أُولَٰئِكَهُمَ الْفَاسِقُونَ. They are the rebellious ones. فَبِمَا نَقْلِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَكُفْرِهِمْ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَقَتْلِهِمْ وَالْأَنْبِيَاءِ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ وَقَوْلِهِمْ قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ بَلْ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا بِكُفْرِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Due to their breaking of the covenant, we cursed them and made hard their hearts. Allah has set a seal on their hearts because of their disbelief, so they believe not except a few. فَكَيْفَ يَغْفَلَ الْغَافِلَ عَنْ عَقْلِهِ وَقَلْبِ الَّذِي مَمْتَازَ عَلَى الْحَيَوَانِ إِلَّا بِهِ. So how can someone who possesses intellect be neglectful of his intellect in his heart when these are the only things which distinguish him from animals? وَإِنْ دِينِهِ الَّذِي مَا فُضِّلَ عَلَى الْكُفَارِ إِلَّا بِسَبَبِهِ. And how can he be neglectful of his religion when it is the only thing which distinguishes him from the disbelievers? Allah says, تَغَرَّنَّكُمْ لا يغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. لا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. There's a lamb missing in my copy here. Yeah, so there it's probably okay. You have the right. فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. There's a فلا missing in my copy edition here. So Allah says, so do not let this worldly life delude you. Ghurur is delusion. And do not let the arch deceiver delude you about Allah. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةٍ مَوْتٍ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورُهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَا عَنِ النَّارِ وَدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Every soul will taste death, and you'll be paid in full only on the day of resurrection. Whoever is kept away from the fire and admitted to the garden will have triumphed. The present world is only an illusory pleasure. So we'll stop there, inshallah ta'ala. And that sometimes when we hear these verses growing up, especially as Muslim minorities in the lands in which we live, is that we wonder about what about all the people around us, and that what we should really be doing is saying, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us aware of this reality. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us aware of this truth. Because these are truths. And we don't know what's going to be the state of other people and how they're going to be judged before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be people that didn't reach them the da'wah. There'll be people who the da'wah reached them in a distorted fashion. That's not our concern, except to the extent that we can do something to help them. Other than that, that's between them and Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. What we want to be concerned about is our own selves and our state before our Lord, and to thank Him for making us aware of these realities. Because the afterlife is real. The hereafter is real. And we know that Jannah is haq and Nahr is haq. And we know that the hour is haq and that the resurrection is haq. And our Prophet informed us of these things, and they are going to happen. And that we don't want to be like the vast majority of creation, where we're in heedlessness about these matters. Rather, that we want to prepare for them. We want to live lives that whereby which is that we seek the provision of taqwa, so that when we meet our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that our souls are taken easy, and that we long for His meeting, we long for His presence, we long for reward that comes directly from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why that we fast, this is why that we do everything that is that we do, so that when we take our last breath that we can receive the bounty of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us tawfiq and to bless us in all of our different affairs, forgive us of all of our sins, all of our shortcomings, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, and everything that we know about and those things we don't know about. Allahumma, we ask You to veil us and to completely forgive us inwardly and outwardly, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, and bless us all with a Kamal Husna Khatima, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam, wa sallam al-Fatiha ila Hadrat al-Nabi. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين ولا ضالين آمين. ربنا انفعنا بما علمتنا ربي علمنا الذي ينفعنا ربي فقهنا وفقه لنا وكربتنا في ديننا مع أهل الكود ينظر وذكر ربي وفقنا ووفقكم لما ترتدي قولا وفعلا كرما وارزق كل حلال دائما وخلات يا علماء نحظى بالخير ونكفى كل شر ربنا واصلح لنا كل الشؤون وأكرب الرضا منك العيون واقضي أن ربنا كل الديون قبل أن تأتينا رسل منه وكفر السنت أكرم ستار وصلاة الله تغشى المصطفى من للحق دعانا والوفاء بكتاب فيه للناس الشفاء وعلى الآل الكرام الشرفاء وعلى الصحب مصابها الغرور اللهم اهدنا بهداك واجعلنا ممن يسار في رضاك ولا تولينا وليا سواك ولا تجعلنا ممن خالف أمرك وعصاك وحسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.